go. Good morning. Good morning. I'm getting my stuff together here. Good morning, Bluffton community. Hello. The slide says my name's Marty, and that was true. I'm Marty. So if I haven't met you before, I'm Marty. Earlier you saw Ben, so now you already know two people. That was Lauren. Now you know three people. So if this is your first couple times here, you already know three people, and congratulations. You're part of the family now. You're in here. So today, this is interesting. We've got round two of 9 a.m. service. You guys are the early risers, the ones that come in early. We've restructured seating, which is awesome because you guys feel so much closer. Not like front row closer, but so much closer. We'll get there eventually. Today, I get to talk about joy and like what a joy it is to get to talk about joy, what Scripture has to say about joy, and kind of weave it into some of the stuff that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. It seems that today, like maybe that joy isn't a word that we use very often in like common daily conversation. We're not just like talking about joy regularly. So I thought, and this is risky always, this is a good spot for like audience participation, right? To be able to look at you guys and say, hey, when you hear the word joy, Amy, what's the thing that comes to mind for you? Oh gosh, that's way too kind. I do like saying the word joy because I think it matters. But thanks, Amy. That was super sweet. All right, somebody else over here. Jeremy, what do we got? When you hear the word joy, what comes to mind? Long lasting, beautiful. Somebody in this section, anybody can holler out. Joy. Family, love that. What do we got over here? Friends, I love it. I love it. Yeah, this. Thanks so much for doing that. It totally worked. Like, there could have just been crickets and it wouldn't work. But thanks for doing that. Some other like synonyms that make sense to me are happiness and good feelings and warmth and positivity. Those are really great synonyms for it. But today, we're going to take a peek and go a bit deeper into the joy that we're talking about from this scripture for the last 3 weeks and really kind of throughout scripture as we go through. So first, I'm going to pray and then we'll start digging in. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for a congregation that's willing to shout out what they think of when they hear the word joy and what those things are. And man, God, we just trust that you're going to speak to us today. You're going to teach us something new and be in the process of bringing us one step closer to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that any silly word that I would say, that you would just wipe that out and just flow through me right now. Use your words only. And for everybody's ears and hearts here, that if I did say something silly, that their ears would just hear it differently, that you would translate anything that I wasn't clear about into absolute clarity in their hearts as we try to draw closer to you. God, we love you and we trust you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So we discussed not that long ago that like in the English language, when we go over the English language, words like love have different meanings in the original language, like agape love, phileo love, stuff like that. Like, for example, I love pizza. It's my favorite food group. I love ice cream. It's my second favorite food group. I also love, like, my kids. I love Mrs. Cotter. And I just promise you that, like, the love I have for Mrs. Cotter is very different than the love I have for pizza, right? Like, we catch that the words don't always make a clear picture of like those loves are not on the same plane. And that's what I wondered about with this word joy, as we see it in John 15, 1 through 17. Is this word joy, what other root words and where else do we see it in Scripture? So a little study, again, if you happen to be like super fluent in Greek, and I say this wrong, I'm so sorry. I think it's chara. I think that's how you say it. I could be wrong. Maybe it's chara. Either way it goes, that's the word, C-H-A-R-A, that's the root word of joy that we're using here, and it's kind of woven throughout the New Testament and even some in the Old Testament, but there are several pieces that connect with that root word of chara, which is charis, if you care about the nerdy stuff, and these things tie to joy, but also delight and awareness of grace and favor, and like, man, that's a different little turn on the word joy to be like, to be aware of the grace that's involved, that is joy. And so that got me running down a path that's a little bit different. What we also find is joy is a concept that as it starts literally page one of your Bible, you open it up, God's talking about creation and how things are good and how things are very good and how things are blessed. And so we see joy page one of your Bible and all the way through. And today, We'll look at a ton of verses, so I'll try to remember to chill, bring hype level down just a little bit so that we can catch those verses and see how joy kind of can go beyond just feelings and be a kind of a set point, a viewpoint for us to look at. All right, so as we go through that, uncover joy, how it impacts how we live today. That's my hope, is that today we can uncover where true joy comes from and how it impacts how we live today. Looking back through scripture reminds me of the gospel acronym. We've talked about this before, but as we're like looking at scripture, slowing down, doing the thing, we can remember that like God created us to be with him, that our sins have separated us from God, and that sins cannot be repaid by good deeds. But thank God that he sent his son who paid the price for sin by dying and rising again, putting into action the blessing for everyone who says yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives, to have life eternally in relationship with him, which starts now and lasts forever. And what a joy. Like, the gospel is real and true, and we ought to celebrate that. Like, that is something to know, that we have the joy of the gospel that ties us together and puts us in. And like, we serve a God that's not silent on our relationship with him, but rather he calls us into a closer relationship with him. So we'll keep digging. Over the last 3 weeks, John 15, 1 through 17, we haven't read that very much in the NASB version. It's a little bit older version, but Ben's done it in like three other versions. So we'll do a different one today. I'm going to go ahead and read that, and actually all of the verses that we read today will be in this NASB version. So that's what we're going to do. I'll start, and I'm going to read the scripture in its entirety, and then we'll start going down through there. So, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. In week one of the series, Ben taught us about abiding and remaining in Christ. In those lessons, we learn how Jesus is the true vine and life flows through him. Abiding and remaining with him, staying deeply rooted, keeps us connected to the source of joy. If we look at Psalm 16:11, we see it says, you make known to me the way of life, in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Abiding in Christ keeps you connected to the source of joy. However, disconnected from Jesus, the true vine, the branch may look all right for a moment, but ultimately will not produce fruit and will wither. If you're trying to find true joy without a proper relationship with the Lord, it will ultimately fail. And don't get me wrong, again, there are laughs, there are things in this world that we like, by common grace, we get to enjoy and have fun with, but this joy that we're talking about today is much deeper than that. It's rooted in the relationship with the Lord and therefore supersedes circumstances that occur in this world. That's one of the unique things about the joy that comes from the Lord. as we look at 2 Corinthians 6:10, it says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Paul, who had been beaten, jailed, homeless, like he lived the gamut of life circumstances, right? He reminds us that while sorrow and difficulties are real, joy is found in an eternal perspective. Earlier in the year, we studied on Habakkuk, and looking back at Habakkuk, you know, if you remember, he brought like distress to the Lord. He's like, God, I don't like this situation. This doesn't make sense to me. You need to do something differently. And we go through that. And God tells him, like God answers him and says, it's going to get worse. And the way my ways are higher than your ways. And he shows him. But look where we end up in this thing, that while Habakkuk knows that the pain and the trials have only just begun, and ultimately the people are going to be overrun and awful things, this is where Habakkuk lands. I heard and my inner parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will attack us. This does not sound good. This doesn't sound joyful. This sounds awful and something that nobody wants to be a part of. Shift gears. Even if the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, if the yield of the olive fails and the fields produce no food, even if the flock disappears from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like deer's feet and has made me walk on my high places. His circumstances are not good. They are awful, yet he is rejoicing as he looks through with an eternal perspective rather than just the current circumstance. He trusts the Lord in spite of despair and awfulness that's currently occurring. The source of joy is not bound by our feelings or our circumstances, because the source of joy is the Lord. He's bigger, he's greater, he's more than. We're connected through the true vine, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the sap pulsing through the vine, that ultimately the Holy Spirit in us today is what's deeply rooted, and it connects us and produces fruit in our lives. And it's such a cool, again, off of that first week, a cool picture of the root going in and then this energy pulsing through and producing fruit in our lives. Many people have probably memorized Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It should be on the board here in a moment, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit, right? Like we learned those back there in Kidstown. We've got people back there volunteering and teaching them these very same things today. But catch that. Joy is a fruit, right? And if joy is a fruit, fruits cannot be efforted into existence. It's that sap of the Holy Spirit pushing through and doing it. Ben did a nice job talking about bamboo trees and stuff like that. Where, like, we think about trees. Lauren was talking about trees earlier. Like, trees are just doing their thing, right? Like, an apple tree is rooted in the ground. It's doing its work with breezes, right? The leaves are rustling and doing things like that. And it's not like that apple tree is going to be like, okay, it's time. Apple. It's not how this works, right? Like, there's a process. There's something at play. This is not a thing that we do. This is a thing that the Holy Spirit does through us. It courses through and produces fruit. It's not flexed into production. Romans 15, 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see the relationship here again, right? The Holy Spirit pulses hope and joy and peace, leading to a life deeply rooted in Jesus that naturally produces fruit. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And again, we're looking at Paul, who's writing this from prison, carrying a theme of joy. How can he be in prison carrying a theme of joy? Because, again, he sees through to an eternal perspective of what he's supposed to be doing, what God's going to accomplish, and where he's ultimately going to go. Ben mentioned this earlier today in our prayer time. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If you're in a trial right now, it may be that you're currently in like a pruning season. Like pruning is often painful, but also purposeful, and God is removing what is hindering the production of fruit. We ought to pray for God to identify and prune the barriers that exist in our lives. I want to take a quick pause here for a moment, because as we're talking about this, we're looking at circumstances and how we can have joy in spite of negative circumstances. And I just want to say, like, the reality is there are likely people here today, people listening to this online, that they're going through something like awful, and sin in this world, whatever the situation may be, has led to this awful moment. And I want to just say that, like, I'm so sorry. And I promise you, I want to lean into this with you. There are people in this church that want to lean into this pain with you and pray with you and listen to you and sit with you and try to just understand and be alongside you as you go through this situation. Please know that this joy we're talking about doesn't make the pain any less. Pain still hurts. It's real. It's part of the gambit that we run here on this world. We're not talking about fake smiles here. The joy of the Lord does not dismiss difficult times, but rather shifts the believer's perspective into eternal things. Being a person connected to the source of joy doesn't mean you won't experience tragedy. And trust me, I've been there. I have been in the spot where you are begging God to do anything different, that you know God has the power to change the circumstance, to do something different. And the answer in that moment is not one that you would want it to be. But we have a God who gets it, who endures with us and provides hope for greater things to come. Jesus models this for us in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus looked through the cross to joy. As we prepare to celebrate Easter here in a couple of weeks, we'll be remembering the awful circumstances that Jesus endured for the joy that he provided access to. And again, it's a tough reality check that hard things are and will still be hard on this earth. But what a joy to know that we are not in it alone and it's not final. Last week, Ben covered love and obedience, and he was highlighting the meaning of like keeping watch and protection and instruction and the concept of loving each other. Joy, being a fruit of the Spirit, comes as the natural outflow of love and obedience. It's the result. But then we get to enter this really great circle of the natural expression of joy, right? Anybody in here know what the natural expression of joy is? It's love, right? And so if it's love, and specifically love for one another, see John 15:17, "This I command you, that you love one another." This joy isn't just personal, locked in, just for me sort of love, but rather it cascades into relationships. And then you get to see that circle of like love leading to joy and revealing more love that leads to more joy, that really is more love and more joy. And it goes in this like beautiful circle of like overwhelming and growing joy that comes through. So I knew this woman named Carol that passed away a few years ago, but Carol was like the sweetest woman that you could have ever met, right? Like she was the best. She was one of those older women that like invested in every other woman of the church, right? And just to kind of catch you the picture, she's a little bit shorter. She's got like white shoulder length hair, glasses, kind of like a cardigan, maybe a purse. You guys can see this person, right? She's the sweetest, right? And she just had this smile that lit up the entire room. And I think she knew it because for whatever reason, like, I don't know, some of you guys that got, you know, I've got 5 daughters, so we get the Christmas makeup kits that have the craziest color, like lip gloss and lipstick and stuff like that. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen that. See Keegan sometime, she'll show you. But Carol like had the most vibrant and bright lipstick that she would just get on there and you could see her smile from the parking lot, right? Like she is rolling in and when you get to her, man, she is going to stop you and she is going to love on you and you can't help but be lifted up by this person because the joy that is just coming out of her life, not every situation that she was in was great, but you would never know. Because she had this joy that was infectious and she cascaded it to people everywhere she went. And she, as she just embodied joy, regardless of her circumstances, she really would. I would see her, Christy and I would see her come up and she would just give you a hug. She'd tell you you're great. She'd ask how you're doing and how much she appreciated you. And when I think of joy, that's a person that I think of. I think of Carol. Think the lipstick, big smile. She's the best. Now, I can't imagine, and honestly, I don't want to, what it would be like to lose my bride. Her husband, Lloyd, obviously went through tragedy when she passed away. And while he knew where her eternal destination was, he still felt the pain of losing his bride and losing his partner. After some time in conversation with Lloyd, he was like clear about how he enjoyed his relationship and his years and he with Carol, and he made the absolute most out of those years. However, because he didn't make this mistake, he didn't uproot the joy that he had in the Lord, the joy that Carol was sourcing from the Lord, he didn't uproot that and then place those roots into the blessing of his marriage or into the blessing of his bride. When she passed away, his joy did not end. His relationship with his wife changed, but he knows eternally where he's going to be able to meet up in heaven. He knows what the future looks like. He didn't close the doors and sink into a deep depression or hide from the world. Rather, he's continued to honor and serve the Lord and honoring her memory and continuing to spread the joy just like she did throughout her realm of influence. It's an easy mistake to make, right? Like if Satan can get us to go one degree off center, he can mess some stuff up. And it's so easy to take the blessing and root it into there so that if that fails, then everything else falls from underneath it. Tragedy can be a fast barrier to joy. In fact, there are many sneaky barriers. One of them is receiving the blessing from the Lord and then transferring the roots to that. Our kids can be a great example of this. There's lots of kids in here and there. It's a joy to have our kids, right? It's a blessing from the Lord. It's a miracle every single time. Maybe you've had a child that achieves something or they do something that just makes you so proud. Or maybe you get a phone call from your daughter that she's like been through some really tough times. And in this moment, she's calling to say, Dad, God is so good. And I'm seeing him move in my life. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And how could he step into this situation and show himself? And you're like, yes, right? And then 10 minutes later, they like flip it on a dime for you. And you're like, here, this is the technical term for it is like, right? Like, you're like, how is this child? Technical term, just so you get that. It's funny, right? But like how many families really will sacrifice their relationship with the Lord at the altar of fill in the blank? It could be youth sports. It might be academic achievement. It could be your job, your place of work. And there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong in seeing joy in the blessings. There's nothing wrong in recognizing that you have a blessing, that God's done something in your life. But if your relationship with the Lord changes and you uproot from finding your joy in him and then plant your roots in things that will ultimately wither and die, you'll be doing something that's not fair, especially if it's a person. If you're putting your joy in your, like, whether or not you find joy in the Lord in a person other than Jesus, it's not fair to them, and it's ultimately awful for you. Same thing goes for work. Same thing goes for other things. Again, nothing wrong with many of those things. It's just where do you put your priority and where do you find your joy in those things? When we allow unrepentant sin to live in our lives, we're putting up a barrier to the joy that God has for us. Maybe it's self-leadership or pride or fear, unforgiveness. There's so many things that can be quick barriers to the ultimate joy that God has for us. Many of us are familiar with the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. There are two sons. The younger son basically says, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance now." And he breaks the connection with his father. And then he runs off to do some wild living. It's crazy. Lots of bad stuff happening, right? He ends up in a really bad spot. He sees what he thought would bring him joy wither and ultimately dies. And then he's in like the worst possible situation, right? When you're disconnected from the Father and you try to find joy, the places ultimately will not be able to endure. He finds himself in misery, and he realizes that there's no lasting joy to be found in other places and yearns just to be back in relationship with the Lord, or with his Father, and figures out, I'm going to go ask for forgiveness for my dad. It'd be better to be a servant for him, right? We know that story. I'm going over that one quick because I want to look at this really fun part of this story, right? Luke chapter 15, verse 20, we're going to go through 24. So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Like, he had prepared that whole speech. He's going to go and put on this big crescendo, and then his dad will, you know, bring him back into the fold or give him a job, right? But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and the sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine that was dead and has come to life again, he was lost and he's been found." And they began to celebrate. The joy came at the reconnection to the father, right? And what a joy it is for us to see that story and be like, there are bad circumstances and things that like we can see through. In this one, we get to see joy in a good circumstance. Like, this is a good thing that he has come home, and we get to celebrate and have joy. The prodigal son had left the vine and withered, but he came back into relationship. It was time to celebrate. It was a joy to know that we have a God that is looking for us. The Holy Spirit is turning hearts towards relationships with the source of joy. We serve a God who provides inexhaustible joy. All right, quick story time. I asked a friend of mine, Nick, to specifically pray for this message. I've asked him to pray for me as I was preparing, because if you guys have done some joy studies in your Bible, there's a lot here, right? There's a lot of things that we can talk about. And so Nick's a trusted friend of mine. I asked him to be praying, and he called me the other night, and he goes, "Hey, man, I got to let you know. I was in small group, and a guy named John was praying," and he goes, "Marty, in that moment, I was specifically praying for you, praying for this congregation and for this moment that we stand in right now." And in that prayer, John prays, "God, we pray for your indomitable joy." What a manly word to say, right? Like, indomitable joy. In that moment, God connected like prayers from 500 miles away. They live in Ottawa, Tennessee. That's far away. So prayers that are connecting and being mashed together from 500 miles away, two people removed. People are bringing in words so that I can stand here today and share with you this indomitable, cannot be subdued, cannot be conquered joy of the Lord that we're all talking about today. I think that's pretty cool. Our God has an indomitable joy for you and for me. The barriers cannot oppose what he has for us when we remain in him, when we abide in him, when we are pruned by him, and we bear the fruit by the power of the Holy Spirit. We love and we obey what he commands us. For clarity here, this is a call out of obligation and into the joy of walking with Christ. Since probably 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, Ben talked to me about this lesson and talking about joy, I've had this picture in my head of a sponge, but I should bring you that picture. So hang on here. Let's do this. I just so happen to have a sponge today, guys. The best sponge. There we go. Cool. This table is going to have all of the structural integrity it needs to do what we needed to do right now, okay? So I've had this picture in my head of a sponge, and the idea was is that, like, if this sponge is like a metaphor for all of the joy that I could possibly have. Like, if my life was filled with joy, this is how much joy it could hold, everything that could be held in this sponge. And the picture in my head was that, like, hey, I got a promotion. Boop, 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 boop. It's good. It's fun, right? Hey, I've been doing like a diet thing and I've lost like 5 pounds. Boop, 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 boop. They'll come back. Don't worry about that. But we got those, right? My one of my kids got a job and is moving out of the house. More drops, right? Like, we get more drops for that one. They're going to go. These are like happy things, right? These happiness and blessings, and we can laugh and we can enjoy those things. But ultimately, like, there's a lot more volume available here. And that, these drops of joy and happiness, they can exist for lots of people. But when you're rooted, when you're actually in relationship with the Lord, the indomitable joy that we're discussing is more like this, where it's like God wants to provide you joy that overflows. That, like, no matter how much you think, you can see that, like, this thing, I'm squeezing it out. It's taking every ounce that it can, and yet it just drips and soaks and saturates. This is the joy, and, like, this container doesn't even really give the best picture of how much joy God has for us, has for you, that you can experience via a rooted relationship with the Lord. That's indomitable joy. There's nothing, I couldn't take another ounce of liquid into this. I couldn't have another ounce of joy in my life without God providing and bringing in that joy. What a joy that we can be connected to the root, to the source of joy, not a little joy, indomitable in us and to the full. Not just based on emotion, but rather connection and perspective, deeply rooted in abiding love. The believer who is saying yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives gets to see the supernatural outcome of remaining in Christ and enjoying all he has for them. So, quick recap. We get to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, that the Lord's placed in your lives, but don't root your blessings in anything other than what the Lord has provided. Don't root your blessing in the thing. Continue to have it rooted in the Lord. Ask God to reveal and remove the barriers of joy in your life, to prune them out, and spread the joy of the gospel. Trust that the Holy Spirit is at work, and the joy will be revealed in an indomitable way. Because God created us to be with him. And while our sins have separated us from God, and those sins can't be removed by good deeds, we can't jump high enough, we can't be good enough, that paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again so that everyone who says yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives will have life eternal that starts now and lasts forever. From the root to the fruit, in all circumstances, let us enjoy the joy the Lord has for us. As we get ready to wrap up, we'll just take a moment, as Ben usually reminds us, just like, before I pray, we're just going to take a moment for you to ask God, like, God, what are you telling me today? What are you teaching me today? What is it that you're revealing to me today? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for joy. Thank you for connecting us to who you are, and for the realization of how much more you have for us. Thank you that in the midst of good things going on, like happiness and blessings, we can have joy and be connected to you. And in the midst of terrible things, we can stay rooted in you and stay connected to you. And know through an eternal perspective that joy is still available to us, even in the midst of the things that hurt and are painful. God, we trust you, and we know that you'll continue to provide for us, continue to help us tear down the barriers, reveal that in our lives. I pray that for each and every one of us today, that you would just tear down the barriers and help us to see where you are and how you're operating. We trust you, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.